Reading from John 10:10.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Reading from John 10:10.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, November 14th, 2025. Hi, this is Dave Fitch, Director of Development with Great News Media, and it's a privilege to fill in today for Mark. Joining me to facilitate our discussion on John 10:10 is Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church in Springfield. Mark, you choose our topics for each week, and we're going to be talking both this week and next week about John 10:10. What was it that caused you to choose this particular verse?
You know, there's an offer here to all people. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and you may have it to the full or may have it abundantly. It's an offer. I could come into this room today or gather a bunch of people that are listening today and say, hey, come over here or meet me at this restaurant and I'm buying dinner tonight. It's an offer. To get that offer, you got to show up. It's there. It's your offer. It's an offer to you. But you'd have to show up and get that free dinner. This is an offer to those who follow Christ. He's offered us life to the full. Doesn't mean every Christian is living life. There may be people listening on this to this station today that you love God, you go to church all the time, but you're not experiencing life to the full. There's definitely people in the world seeking after things, trying to find life to the full, and they grasp them and discover that really wasn't the answer. What does Jesus mean when he says we may have life to the full, and how do we get it? That's what's kind of led me to this passage today.
Yeah, it sounds like you're looking for the key to life, and that key is definitely found in the Word. So typically, there's a dichotomy between what the Word tells us about life and how to find that, and what the world would say that we should go after to find that life to the fullest. Can anyone here maybe give us some thoughts about what the world typically thinks of when they talk about going after the full life? What are they typically talking about?
Money.
Yeah, money would be the first one, I think, in most people's minds. Mm-hmm. What else?
Fame.
Fame?
All the younger people are pretty obsessed with that, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. Look at Hollywood and TikTok and mm-hmm. all the online and social media stuff. Everybody's looking for approval and fame there. What else do
status.
People... Oh, yes. Status. Absolutely. The title.
Title, right. Recognition mm-hmm. or accomplishment that I have done.
Absolutely.
Sometimes power and control.
Mm. Property, yeah. Yeah, everybody's after all those things that the world offers them. Have you ever known someone with those things that didn't have life to the full, who wasn't happy even though they had those things?
That still had an empty hole somewhere inside that was not being filled. You know, I think everybody can think, well, I'm doing okay, but I don't really feel that okay.
Yeah, I think all of us have witnessed famous people with money, fame, power, access to pleasures, access that found themselves very dissatisfied with life, not able to keep their life together, not able to keep order, not able to get victory over things that are destroying their life. And you just wonder, why do they keep doing that? They've got, it seems like they have the world at their fingertips and they're miserable. Mm-hmm. And then we find that, you know, on a more micro level in our lives, mm-hmm. Family members, others who seem to have everything going for them and mess it up all the time.
True.
And it's always kind of crumbling around them and they have none of the things that really matter, even though they have every opportunity to have them, it seems. So I think we've all known folks like that. And maybe somebody's sitting listening to us today and the world would look at you, and I've known people like this many, many times, the world would look at them and say, man, if my life was just like theirs, and they don't know the storms that are going on in their life. They're not aware of the trouble in their relationships. They're not aware of the trouble in their life. And everybody's kind of admired them because they put on a good show on the outside, but there's not really life to the full there.
Well, one thing you said, Mark, was
that they appear to have the world at their fingertips, and maybe they even do have the world at their fingertips, but all the pleasures of the world don't satisfy, then that means that we were meant for even more than just that.
You know, I would ask this question. Have you ever worried about something and been concerned about something, maybe a relationship or a health issue, and it kept you up at night, it kind of dominated your thoughts, it kind of made you feel stress all the time? Has anybody ever been in that kind of situation?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people listening today that maybe you're in that situation right now. A person with everything but filled with worry and fear does not have life to the full. If they're filled with worry and filled with fear, Jesus tells us, he gives this great description in Matthew, I believe chapter 6, where he talks about all the things that people seek after, clothes and money and stuff, and then he comes back around and he just says to us, listen, those things don't answer. God knows you need all those things. He knows what you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. We look in Proverbs, and he talks about riches without trouble, riches without heartache. He promises us things without the heartache of life in them. And so we think about worry and fear, and we see that with worry and fear, we don't have that life to the full. We're walking around with a burden around our heart all the time. I would just bring us to Galatians chapter 5 and look at something very, very important. The fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit? What is Paul saying to us? Anybody want to jump in there and talk about that for a second?
What comes to my mind is that these are actually characteristics of God's character, and we are reflection of Him. So these should be, it should be our desire to take on these qualities or to work towards them.
That's good. That's good. Does anybody have an apple tree at home? Anybody in this room?
Used to.
Yeah.
What do you expect from an apple tree?
Apples.
You don't go out there looking for oranges. You go out there looking for apples. There's evidence that this is an apple tree. If you grow a garden and you plant tomatoes, what do you look for? You're looking for tomatoes. You know, you're expecting something. What Paul's telling us here is if the Spirit is alive in you, here are the things that will grow in you. Here are the things that will happen in your life if the Spirit is in you. So one of these pathways to the fullness of life is to make sure we're walking in the Spirit. We're inviting the Spirit into our life every day. One of the things I try to encourage people to do is when you get up in the morning, dedicate that day to the Lord. I'm here to follow you. You speak to me. Give your problems to Him. Give your needs to Him. Now listen, I'm just going to read a portion of Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and here's the key word for today, peace. There's peace that comes from the Spirit of the Lord being in us and working in us. Now, my question is, how does that happen? What does that mean? How does the peace of God impact my life? Does that mean all my problems go away?
No.
I tell you, I still have problems. I still have issues that concern me. But what do we do with those problems? So we take those problems to the Lord. Here the Bible teaches us that peace is not a product of circumstances. What is peace a product of? It says it right there. Go ahead.
From the Spirit of God.
From the Spirit of God. Peace is a product of the Spirit of God. So as the Spirit of God moves in us, as we open our heart to the Spirit of God. So here's this knowledge that you get. We get this knowledge that Almighty God, What does almighty mean?
All-powerful.
All-powerful.
Nothing is...
Can do everything.
Too difficult.
Nothing's too difficult for him. He's almighty. He's almighty. Take all the power of the world, combine every power together, which the world will try to do one day, and come against God. And they're going to discover something where they may have a lot of power to maybe destroy me. They have no power to be able to destroy God. He's almighty. All power is in him. And when the Spirit lives in us, we get this knowledge that Almighty God is active in my life. And I can look at whatever trouble I'm faced with and say, wait a second, God is my Lord. He is with me. He's guiding my steps. Whatever this is that I'm facing, he's going to be with me. So when I, over 40 years, I've talked with many, many people who've gotten really bad health news. And I encourage them when they have bad health news to go spend some time praying about that and to present it to the Lord. Lord, you know what's going on in my life. Maybe somebody out here today's you've gotten bad health news. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. This isn't a surprise to you. When the doctor told me this, you didn't go, what? You knew exactly what was going to be said that day. You knew exactly what was going on, and you knew exactly this journey. God, you're bigger than this cancer. God, you're bigger than this heart issue. You're bigger than whatever I'm facing today. You're bigger and you're greater. And what I want to encourage them to do is listen to what God is saying to you. What does he say to you in that moment? You know, sometimes they'll get a promise. Sometimes they'll get assurance. One of the things I hear very, very often from really godly people when they're going through a health issue is they'll say, God spoke to me and said, I will be with you through this. My son-in-law, when he was very young, went through a bout with cancer. It was very dangerous. Thank God God was with him. He survived it. He's doing very well now. But I asked him, I said, what helped you through that? And he said, when I first got the diagnosis, teenage young man, he said, God spoke to me and said, I'll be with you through this. And he was. He gave me strength in every moment and everything that had to happen and every surgery that took place and any drugs that they gave me. God gave me strength through it. I always felt his sustaining power. And so this idea of the peace of God that comes to us comes from the fruit of the Spirit being alive in us, from the relationship we walk with him, taking every trouble to him. And guess what? Every one of us in this room, everyone listening, has had trouble. Everybody in the Bible. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to get saved, or people get saved. Nothing's supposed to go wrong. Show me anybody in the Bible, and I'll show you people that went through troubles. Every story is a story of people overcoming troubles, walking through troubles in their life, and God was with them. We won't be trouble-free until we're in heaven. Up until then, we're going to face some troubles. Some will be small ones, annoying ones. Some will be big ones. That we wonder, how are we going to get through this? But it's the promises of God that pay off. We'll talk about this more next week. So how do we get peace when trouble is in our life? I want to break down a scripture with you. Paul's talking in Philippians chapter 4, and he says this in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What does always mean?
Every single moment.
Every single
without
moment.
Without ceasing.
Yes. All the time, without ceasing. Very good, yeah. That means it never stops. So if it's always, then when I go to work and I get a raise, I go home and I rejoice. Thank you, God, for providing more for my family. If I go to work and I get fired, I go home and I rejoice because God's got another plan for my life. whatever it is I'm facing, whatever's going, God, I know you're going to be with me. Almighty God is with me. That's the attitude of the believer. The attitude of the believer is not a crumbling attitude. The attitude of the believer is an attitude of, I know who my strength is. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the mistake. I've got this. No, you don't. You don't have it. You don't have the tiny ones, let alone the big ones. God's got this. Right. He'll have it because I'm walking with him. He's got this thing that seems impossible, that seems like it's never going to be answered, but it's the promise of God. I'm going to rejoice, God, that you're bigger than all of this stuff. All right. So then it says this, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what's he telling us to do?
Pray about everything.
Chill
out.
Yeah.
With thankfulness.
With thankfulness.
I think that's key.
It is key. It's a thankfulness in times of trouble is an act of faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's an act of, God, I believe you more than I believe my circumstances.
Yes.
This circumstance is bad right now, but I believe that you're doing. Now, listen, sometimes our troubles are there to sharpen us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're there to beat off some rough edges in us. Mm-hmm. Some of them are self-imposed because we've been foolish and not been obeying God. Mm-hmm. All kinds of reasons troubles come into our life.
Yeah.
Some are just allowed into our life. Mm-hmm. And so when we come to God saying, God, I know you know everything about me. I know you know the best thing for me. I'm bringing my need to you. And I'm bringing it with thankfulness that, one, you're almighty. Just rejoiced about that. You're almighty. Mm-hmm. And two, that I know you love me. So I've had two friends, my son-in-law being one of them, that went through cancer. And both of them, I asked them both the same question, what's God saying to you? And both of them said almost the same exact words, God's telling me he'll be with me through this. My son-in-law survived the cancer. God was with him. God didn't instantly heal him. I've known people where God instantly healed them. He didn't instantly heal my son-in-law. Another one was a great man in our church, and he had been diagnosed with cancer. And I talked to him one night. We had a prayer service. We prayed for him, and I asked him, Don, what is God saying to you? He said, God's telling me he'll be with me through this. And he walked through that, and he went home to be with the Lord. He did not survive it. But he had the peace of God all the way through it. He knew God was with him all the way through it. He was a testimony to people all the way through it. Mm-hmm. And he walked. Now, what's bad about him going to heaven?
He went home.
He went home. All of his troubles are gone. Mm. All of his problems are behind him. He's in heaven now. Now, I've known people that God healed them and set them free from cancer, and they walked the rest of their life and never had another issue with it. We don't get to make that choice. We seek God for what we want. We bring our supplications to him for what we want. We give him thanks that he's with us, and we open our heart to him, knowing that God is almighty and that he hears us. Now listen to the last verse. This is a famous verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's life to the full. That's fullness. Whatever I face, I can have the peace of God with me. He gives me peace that passes understanding. That passes, you know, the thoughts of this world. You know, we shouldn't be a people. You know, when my dad died, my mom died, it was heartbreaking. We grieve. But Paul says we don't grieve like the rest of men, because we don't grieve without hope. We grieve with hope. So we bring these things together. We're not to be the ones that fall apart, that get mad at God, that don't trust God. Guess what? This world's temporary. Everybody you know is going to die sometime. Mm-hmm. You may beat them to the grave. They may beat you to the grave. But they're going to die sometimes unless the Lord comes and takes us all home. So, get ready. Mm-hmm. Be ready. That's going to happen. Sometimes shockingly happens. Tragically happens. But the peace of God can give us peace that passes understanding. How can you have peace walking through this? Many, many times I've had to look at people and say, only by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Only because I've waited on Him. Now, peace is, it flows in our life, mm-hmm. up and down. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to close, I'll wrap this up and give back to Dave here at this. So I want you to think about that. If you're going through grief out there today, you pray and you get, you pray until you get a spirit of peace. We pray through a thing. Mm-hmm. And there's been many, many times when I've gone through a trouble, and when in my prayer time, I'm praying, I'm desperate for God to move, and I say, God says, that's enough, you're done. Stop praying. It's done. And you walk out with a little bit of peace. And guess what? I get up the next morning, and the peace is gone. And the worry comes back.
Yeah.
It's trying to knock on the door again. And I've got to go back and pray through it one more time. Yeah. And I keep praying through it until that peace that passes understanding.
And that's also praying without ceasing.
Praying without ceasing. Mm-hmm.
So every single one of us will face difficulties. We've all faced them already. And every single one of us will face difficulties in the future. Some of them heart-wrenching difficulties. Mm. But there is a peace that we can have through whatever we face in the future. Mm. And there is a peace that's available. Well, the world can offer up a number of ways to have peace by having a bunch of worldly things. But the best way to get through all those difficulties is to have that peace that surpasses all human understanding. It's a peace that can only be explained by the relationship that we have with God.
It's the fruit of the Spirit, Dave. It's the power of the Spirit being alive in our life.
Yeah.
And that's where Christians walk separate from the world.
And obviously, we're far better off to have that peace in our hearts all the time so that we're not just trying to find it once we get into that difficult situation. We have it walking with us every day, and it's there that we can call on.
David, what I would say to that is, we need to know the pathway to peace. Because when the trouble comes, I don't feel very peaceful.
That's
I know,
right.
I know what to do about it. I don't fret over it. I don't just call my friends and complain. I don't go post on Facebook over it. Right. I go to the Lord over it. Right. That's where the peace comes from.
Well, fortunately, we'll be covering this same topic next week in a little bit more detail. But if you missed a portion of today's broadcast and want to listen again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen to the program anytime. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Dave Fitch, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.